Henry King.
Sorry, it's Daryl, it's my wife Nikki.
Oh, my apologies.
It's a problem I've had a long, long time ago. Nobody else had control over it except my parents. thanks for the time, guys. Appreciate it. I can only really talk on the Lilburn. It's a different river to what I think a lot of you guys are dealing with out here in regards. It's got high, steep banks. This is going to sound weird, but we have two types of floods in the Lilburn. We have dirty ones and we have clean ones. Dirty ones are the ones where it's been raining up in the mountains for 2 or 3 weeks or a month and everything's loose. And then all of a sudden we get a huge downpour like we've had in 84, 78, and through all those photos that you can see. And what ends up by happening, it deposits a huge amount of sediment on the edges of the banks of the rivers. Now, if you've got the goose grass and all that sort of material growing on the sides of the rivers, the river actually grows into the centre, so it actually moves into the middle of the river. Then when we get a wet period, what actually happens, we might get 3 or 4 weeks of rain, or we might get a month of rain, and the river becomes very sludgy around the sides of it. And then it just, for no apparent reason, it'll just, one day it'll just slop in because it's got nothing there holding it. That's one concern I have. If in the submission I said that we're going to lose 30 to 40 hectares of land, well, in the photographs that I've put forward there, you'll see that when the Lilburn floods, as the peaks come down, it rises very quickly, it falls very quickly, so it's not like a river that's 200 k's long where it land to even itself out. It goes up and down very quickly. And because of that, we have a lot of debris that comes down the river, a huge amount of native logs, and they create a lot of log jams. Since we've had the property in the Lilburn 40 years, we've cleaned out an immense, huge amount of willows at our own cost, just to let the river flow. And some of these willows were falling from side to side, actually physically covering the river, and we've taken those out at our own cost. I think I have, as a family, have a really good working relationship with Environment Southland. They come and listen to us. We work things out. Not all the rules that are written work for us at home. In regards to the dams and things like that, we cannot physically have a dam wall that's 3 or 4 metres high and flood an area because it's not effective. And at the moment, we're going through a large building program of dams so that we can actually filter the water before it comes into the Lilburn. We've done that on our deer farm, we've done it on quite a few paddocks, we've got quite a few more to put in. As far as fencing off our waterways, we've just had an Environment Southland plan done, and there's 31 extra kilometres of fencing to be done. Because our predecessors used gorse as a fence, as soon as we open that ground up, we're going to end up spending thousands and thousands of dollars on chemical. As far as the iwi go, the iwi and us, we do the same. Like, we're 4 generations on the one property. I don't want to wreck it for the next ones. That's something that's high on our list. The thing is too, is that if we have a problem on the farm, we ring the council. So we work day to day. So if we see something going wrong, we fix it. If we have a block drain or something. The biggest problem with the contaminants is the water that runs across the top of the ground and runs into the rivers. If you came out to our property during a high rain event and actually had a look at the water coming out of the drains, 99.9% of the time it's clean. You can actually put a cup under it. It's not until the river comes up and covers it that they actually see the silt starting to rise in the river. And I quite commonly go along and have a drink at the end, and I'm obviously still here, but we have quite a few fisher persons, it'll be about this, that come fishing on our property. A lot of our paddocks are not fenced off. against the river, primarily because we don't graze those intensively with cattle. If we do, we put a temporary wire up to keep them out. We have a series of fords we get across. The Lilburn runs basically straight through our property, 2,500 acres on either side. You physically cannot get cattle to run across a bridge. The noise that it makes, especially beefies, dairy cows, you can probably train them because they're more used to walking across concrete and stuff like that. But beefies are bloody hopeless. With having to fence off the waterways, we actually take pride in our river and actually spray a lot of the gorse and broom now, and the council doesn't do it because we think we just do it ourselves just to keep it right because it looks good and it makes us feel good. We had to put a consent in to take gravel out of the river about 10 or 12 years ago. And to my amusement, we had two Environment South and people come out, one from Environment South and one from the council. And they come down in front of my house and had a look, and they said, oh, you know, look through the river and I understand what fish feed on. They lift up the stones and there's heaps of stuff there for the fish to feed on. And I took them up to the other end of the property where it comes out of the native. And they were quite concerned about how there was very little food there for the fish. And I was actually quite surprised because I thought, don't you guys understand this is running out of a beech forest that's completely covered, so there's no light getting into the creek, so that there's nothing there for the bugs and things to actually live on to get themselves going. Because in a beech forest, even Bear Grylls can't even survive in a beech forest, there's nothing to eat. The other thing, over the last 40 years, during the summertime, as the river heats up, we get an algae that comes in the river. And it, normally about 3 weeks after that, we get a weather event and it all gets washed out. And that's been happening for 40 years. That's before, and that comes straight out of the native. Now, I don't know what's going on up there, but if that algae's coming down from up there, that's not us that's doing it, because you can actually see the white where it comes out of the bush. The reason why we've never had a problem with the council, with Environment South, I'm sorry, is we've always had large riparian strips on our hills. We always graze from the top down. We actually look at the paddocks and we graze them accordingly to the topography of the land. A lot of the reasons why I didn't comment on a lot of those things in the submission is because we're already doing them. Now, people that are doing those things shouldn't have to pay for another consent. And it's the cost of consents that's knocking us back. We're putting a water scheme at the moment. It's going to cost us probably 250, 300K. Now, just to get consents to put dams, we haven't got any artesian water. We've got to catch it, store it, and then use it as for stock water. So, yeah, I don't know if you guys have got any questions, but you're more than welcome to answer them.
See if we do.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Oh, yes, thank you for that submission. That was very, very good. I just wanted to ask you about the proposed changes for the damming rules. I don't know if you had a look at the Section 42A report on damming.
I've actually read through it quite often, and to be quite honest, I've broken it probably a couple of times for the simple reason it doesn't work for us. Like, if we've got a gully that's only 10 metres wide and 15 metres deep, you can't physically going like that because it causes a huge issue for the dam and it's going to wash out and it's going to create a bigger problem. So I think I'm very lucky that I've got two guys I work with and they're very good. I work within the rules as close as I can that's practical. And I think that that's where the council, you guys need to give these guys a bit more rein and say, yes, you can do that. Like there was a previous chap up here and said that the council said they had put culverts in and things like that. If it's practical and it works for everybody, it's going to work for the environment as well.
Okay, all right, thanks very much.
Yeah, good morning. Just wanted to follow up on the high steep banks of the Wilburn, I think you were saying.
Yeah.
You eroded it, it's more from the high catchment, upper catchment.
Well, it's the Forestry Creek, and like the Aparima, the Ariti and that, they're big expansive shingle type based creeks. Most of our river has got a mudstone bottom to it. So we've got Parker and Sandstone. We have Parker ledges, then they'll stop, then they'll run into a gravel bar, then they'll go to another Parker ledge. And this goes all the way down. When the council come and wanted us to give us the consent to take gravel out, they wanted us to strip it, like dig trenches up it. And I said, you can't do that. If you start doing that, it's just going to scare. It'll scare it to bits. So we just take, we've been even taking the top off. We've actually since basically stopped taking gravel out now. We take the odd little bit out here and there on the consented spots the odd time just to keep control, just keep the river in its where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, so that's your solution.
Yeah. We actually manage the problem. We don't go and wreck it.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, very practical submission. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I've just got really, what my main concern is about with the fencing of the waterways. Now, we've got the 5,000 acres. We've got four generations on our property, father-in-law, mother-in-law, and down to our grandchildren now, and employ the odd casual staff. Now, my kids have, we've swum, rafted, drunk, we've done everything in that river, and there's no way in hell we would ever do anything to destroy this river. We start fencing it, and I've seen it from Taranaki down. The minute you start putting fences up, you are creating pest corridors, and you see grass, long, rank grass, you see broom gauze. Who's going to pay for all this, and who is going to put chemical all on this ground that completely washes into the river? So, you know, I just don't get it. At the moment, we're allowed to put the sheep can graze down there, and they do a really good job. The fishermen like it because they still can go and fish off the banks, but the minute you put those grass, I mean, I just think you're just defeating the whole purpose by slapping toxic chemicals into our waterways, by fencing them off. You can do it by standards and reels, as we do with hot wires, but you know, common sense prevails, and we are practical people. We've been managing this property for, well, what was it 45 years now, and it's in great heart. The banks think so, but I think we need to be very passionate about it, and I think the people that care are going to be here presenting to you guys.
Just one thing, I noticed that you made comment about the physiographic zones. Do you think that I take from here you disagree with what is on the plan? Have you done any further work to understand more what's going on there?
I've obviously cultivated a lot of the property in bits and pieces. A lot of the boundaries that are written on the zones aren't correct, and in regards that the soil structures and bits and pieces that are on there, I don't want to get into a great money spending operation, but I'll tell you what, the soil maps of Southland are up for what? They're all done from a satellite, and the thing is that everything's green until you turn it over. Then underneath it, you've got different types of, you know, we've got peat bogs. You're going to have a peat bog as big as this room in the middle of a paddock, just as it's occurred there. We have a blue pug under our country, and that holds water. So there's a peat bog will always. There needs to be a whole. I don't think we need to get into that. You guys have enough work now without having to delve into that.
Thank you for that. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
No, don't go away. I've got some questions for you.
Cool.
I want to ask you about the dams on your property.
Yes.
I just want to get clear in my mind. Are they for stock water or sediment control or a mix?
Both.
Both.
All. And for pleasure and for waterways. We've actually got a program in place at the moment with a. Nursery, actually planting these dams out. So we started off with one. As we go around, probably over the next 10 years, we'll put extensive plantings around these dams for waterfowl, for fish. The other thing too, a lot of these creeks that we're fencing off.
Can I just pause you there because I've got a number of questions. So you've answered my first two questions.
Sorry.
Yep. That's fine. How high are they, typically, your dams?
Oh, anywhere.
So how high above, you know, you have downstream, how high above the downstream side of the stream bed would they be typically?
Oh, anywhere from 2 to 4 metres.
Okay. And in terms of the existing rule, you said sometimes there's some problems complying. What I assumed you was telling us was that the permitted activity rule that allows people to build small dams on their farms. Some of those conditions are problematic for you.
Yes.
I was curious for you to tell us about which particular conditions have proved to be problematic on your farm.
Because where we are, we have quite steep gullies.
Yeah.
Okay, if you only have a 2 metre high dam,
yeah,
you only have a very small area of water.
Yeah.
In the summertime, that heats up. It then goes horrible. The only things that live on it are ducks and waterfowl would actually foul the water. If you've got a depth of water more than 2 metres deep, the water can then reticulate during the day, so it actually can keep itself cool. If you've got a small dam, only a metre high, there's no area we can't actually have any advantage of sediment, the stuff that's not big enough to actually hold a volume of water to come down to let it settle before it goes through the culverts.
Yeah. So is the main problem then the permitted activity condition restricting that to a 4 metre high dam?
Yes. My comment is that I think the officers that come out and inspect the dams should be the ones able to make the call. I know they're not engineers, I understand that, but I think it's a practical solution to a simple problem.
Yeah. I'd have to check, but I'm pretty sure that any dam over 4 metres needs a building consent under the Building Act.
Yeah, but if it's a... also, if it's an access, it's not a dam, is it?
Well, no, it's still a dam. Dam's a dam. If it's impeding water, it's a dam. If it's over 4 metres high, you need a building consent. So it's not a straightforward issue.
The other comment I was going to make, a lot of these gullies we're crossing for probably 4.5 months of the season of this last summer, they were dry.
Yeah.
So that comes back, what do you guys conceive as a waterway? Is it run all year round, or is it actually run in a...
Now, thank you for that. I mean, a number of submitters have said to us, hey, look, we want to build sediment dams, and I think the council encourages that as a good practice, but there are problems with sometimes getting those authorised in a quick and cost-efficient manner, so we're well aware of that as an issue, so it's been helpful to have you talk to us about that. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Welcome. So now we're going to adjourn for morning tea. We're hearing after morning tea from New Zealand Deer Farmers. A number of witnesses, are you all here? Great. So during morning tea, we're going to come back at 10:20, and prior to that, if you could just come up to the submitters table and arrange yourselves there and get comfortable and get all your papers out, that would be great. Thank you.